You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network. This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Jan Jones, president of Jan Jones Worldwide, a speakers bureau specializing in sending business experts to speak at events worldwide. Jan spent 10 years as exclusive representative for entrepreneurial visionary Michael Gerber. Prior to that, she worked as a top executive assistant to well-known personalities, including peak performance strategist and author Tony Robbins. Jan, certainly a privilege and pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
I'm pleased to be here, Eric. Thank you for having me on.
And you're more than welcome. So first of all, for starters, why did you feel there was a need for a book such as yours titled The CEO's Secret Weapon?
Well, you know, Eric, as an executive myself and working with big business names and business experts through my business, I was quite surprised that some of them didn't have assistants who really reflected well on them, on the stature of this executive. And some of them, you know, didn't care, but others of them genuinely had no idea about this or what to do about it. So I thought, you know, I'm going to use my background as a former assistant and step in and help them and rectify the situation by sharing what I know. And that's how the book was born.
You gotta love that. Makes a lot of sense. Now, you interviewed many global business leaders for your book. What are the top one or two things that they said about their assistants that make them so valuable, and how can all business owners benefit from what they told you?
Well, you know, Donald Trump told me that he knew his assistant could handle anything that came along, and she did. But what he particularly admired about her was her ability to read a situation and to handle things by herself. Because he said, you know, there's a tempo to business, and it's important for the assistant to understand that tempo so they don't just barge in and start talking to the executive when their mind's on something else or they're busy handling something else. But the most intriguing answer that I came across was from the author Joseph Michelli. He's written several New York Times best-selling books, and he told me that his assistant, Lynn, helped to make him wealthier. And I went, whoa, this is monumental to be able to say that your assistant makes you wealthier. But he said that she made him wealthier by increasing his platform and the scope of what he does, and she's fully invested in the business. So Joseph is one lucky man.
As I mentioned earlier, you spent 10 years as an exclusive representative for small business guru Michael Gerber, author of the perennial bestseller, The E-Myth Revisited. What's one important lesson that you learned from Michael?
Well, yes, I was certainly privileged to have such access to Michael Gerber. You know, he famously said that business owners should go to work on their business, not in their business. So, you know, how does a business owner find time to work on the business if they allow themselves to get caught up in low-value tasks, putting out fires, you know, and everything's an emergency every day? So this is where an adept assistant comes in, and the assistant will take away from the business owner all the unnecessary distractions that keep them from working on their business, because the business owner needs to work on strategy, on activities that will increase their revenue. It's not a good use of their time if they're sitting in front of a computer saving $10 on an airline ticket. So this is, you know, these are the kinds of things that an assistant can do to be invaluable.
In the book, you stress the need for executives to have an assistant with whom they can work as a business partner. Is this a fairly new idea, the assistant operating as a business partner with the executive?
Well, you know, the terminology may be new, Eric, and I'm hearing it everywhere, but the idea really is not, because for generations, successful business leaders have known how to skillfully use the talents of top assistants to help them to be more productive and effective. So they knew how to delegate, and the assistant learned to take responsibility and to grow with that business. So over time, these assistants have evolved into being what we call now business partners. But, you know, don't make the mistake of thinking that every assistant can operate as a business partner, because, you know, there are many average assistants just as there are average bosses. So it's really up to the executive to find the best person for the job, the most suitable person for the job.
Now, many small business owners don't have an assistant. In fact, many executives, particularly younger executives, don't have an assistant either. Are they paying a price for this? What recommendations can you make to them to persuade them that they are paying a price in productivity?
Well, you know, I think that it's really, really important for executives to understand that what's a good use of their time, what's not a good use of their time. And like I mentioned, you know, sitting in front of a computer to save $10 on an airline ticket, or, you know, making your own appointments or setting up your own meetings, these are things that are actually not a very good use of the executive's time. And as Donald Trump said to me, you know, executives who say they want to stay in the trenches, at some point they're going to learn that they can't continue to stay there as the business scales. So, you know, and I understand that there are businesses who can't afford an assistant, maybe a full-time assistant, but there are things that they can do. You know, they can get part-time help. Maybe the assistant can come to the office a couple of days a week to do things that need their physical presence. But otherwise, in this day and age, people can work from home, they can answer their emails, they can return phone calls. The other option, of course, is a virtual assistant. I know several owner-operated businesses that use virtual assistants who do just those kinds of things. They set up their appointments for them and make their travel arrangements, do correspondence, and things like that. But the thing is as your business grows, part-time and virtual are not going to be sufficient anymore, those kinds of assistants. There's going to be just too much happening and happening too fast. So you're going to want to have somebody who's by your side, who's able to grow with you, who's going to be hands-on, who's going to manage your business, and who's going to be able to step in for you when you need them to.
Great information on this topic today. We're joined by Jan Jones, president of Jan Jones Worldwide, a speakers bureau specializing in sending business experts to speak at events worldwide here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Jan, what are the top three characteristics someone should look for in hiring an assistant?
Well, I would say that, you know, it really depends on the kind of business and the stage the business is at. And that will definitely dictate what you're looking for. You know, for me as a small business owner, if I were hiring, I would want someone who was hands-on, someone who's ready to pitch in, who would not say, this is not my job. You know, you need to have somebody who has really a great attitude, but of course they have to have the capability as well. They have to be able to do the job. You know, but we all need to start somewhere. I know in my first job, I had no experience, but I had a boss who was willing to guide me and to teach me. And more importantly, he was willing to correct me if I needed correcting. And so I learned from that. And over the years, I turned into a high-value assistant. So I'm so glad that my first boss was willing to be a mentor for me. Some other things that I would look for is, you know, someone who can think ahead, someone who can see what's coming down the road and go ahead and handle problems before they overtake you and you know, turn into a disaster. And something that I value very highly is somebody who's resourceful, people who know where to go for solutions, how to get the job done, and they're constantly looking for ways to make things better.
Speaking of finding an assistant, it's very difficult and a challenge, I would think. How do you get around to that, and how do we start the process of finding an exceptional assistant?
Well, you know, it can really be a challenge, especially if this is your first time hiring an assistant and if you don't know how to go about it. So I would say the first thing that you need to do is really to define your needs. What kind of person is going to suit you best? So if you're a good delegator, then someone who is a self-starter would be a good fit for you. But if you're a micromanager, you need to find someone who is okay with being micromanaged. I know for myself, I would not tolerate working for a boss who wanted to micromanage me because I was an experienced assistant and I knew what happened to be done, and I would prefer to be left alone to go ahead and do it. So you have to know what your work style is, what your personality is. So, you know, write down about yourself, what your business needs, and then also, you know, what you can afford to pay the person. You know, if budget's an issue, you may have to pare down on your wish list. But the important thing to note is that, you know, you can't make the mistake of thinking that you can only get a top assistant if you're paying a lot of money, because that isn't necessarily the case. You know, I know many assistants who really want to do a great job, and they'll perform at maximum capability for average pay, you know. So because they love the work they do and they have immense pride in their work. So you can get a very, very good assistant if you're paying $50,000 just as well as if you were paying $100,000. So look for somebody who really wants to do the job and who's enthusiastic and who isn't burned out and blasé.
And how do you get the most out of an assistant? What are some things a business owner can do to work more effectively with their assistant?
You know, I think the most important thing, and this came up repeatedly when I was interviewing people for the book, is to communicate. And to communicate constantly, you know, tell your assistant all the time about your business, about your vision, about your desire for your business. You know, in the introduction to my book, I tell the story of Elvis Presley and Sun Records, and the office manager at Sun Records was Marion Kiesker, and her boss, of course, was Sam Phillips. Everybody knows who he is. And Sam was constantly saying to Marion, if I could find a white man who sounds like a Negro, I could make $1 million. And he would say this to her all the time. And then lo and behold, who comes into Sun Records to cut a record but Elvis Presley? And Marion hears his voice. She immediately thinks, Sam said, if I could find a white man who sounds like a Negro, I could make $1 million. So, you know, she kept the tape, the recording of that he made, played it for Sam. Sam was like, no, I think his voice is too pretty, et cetera. And she kept saying, no, this is the guy. And every time they got a song that they needed a singer, she would say, what about that boy with the sideburns? What about that kid with the sideburns? Until finally one day they gave Elvis his opportunity. He gets into the studio, and he starts singing with Scotty Moore, the guitarist, and Bill Black on bass. And they record That's All Right, My Mama. And it becomes not just rock and roll history, but cultural history that changes the world. So, you know, if you communicate constantly with your assistant and keep telling them what you want, they're going to be mindful of delivering that to you. The other thing, you learn how to delegate, because, you know, setting up your own appointments and doing things like that are not a good use of your time, or, you know, worrying whether you're going to have pizza or sandwiches for a company luncheon or something like that. Those are not the things that a business owner should be worrying about. And another very important thing that you should do for your assistant is to give them the resources they need to get the job done. So, you know, if they tell you they need some new equipment, or if they're asking you for some job training, or even if they're asking you for some additional help, and even if you can't afford to hire somebody full-time for them, maybe on a part-time basis or on a per-project basis, something like that. So these are some of the things that an assistant would really appreciate an executive and business owner doing for them.
Very helpful information right there. Now, you give examples of some of the things you and other assistants did for successful, high-powered bosses. How about small business owners and entrepreneurs? Can they expect to get much performance from their assistants, even if they are not paying big salaries?
Yes, they absolutely can. This is just really a myth that if you're not paying a lot of money, you're not going to get top assistants. Now, obviously, you know, there are situations, and whether you're, if the locations you're working for, if you're in a city like New York or Los Angeles or whatever, you have to be competitive. But it's really not true that if you're not paying a lot of money, you're not going to be able to get a top assistant, because, you know, I've worked in small businesses, I've worked in large businesses, I've taken my big business experience to small businesses and helped them to really be successful. So it's really, it's about the ingenuity and the creativity and the enthusiasm that the assistant is going to bring to the task. That's what's important, you know, to help them to resolve challenges.
And what about the trends towards virtual assistants today? Is that a viable option for business owners?
Well, you know, I think that it is, as I said, for small businesses, for owner-operated businesses, they can use virtual assistants. I think that once the business starts to grow, I think that you really do need to then start investigating. And, you know, you're a business owner. You've got good instincts. You know, you have a feel for your business. So you will know at what point you need to start bringing in an assistant who will be working for you, either physically in your office part-time or eventually full-time. But, you know, trust your instincts, and if you start feeling like you need to bring somebody in, then go ahead and do that, because what's going to happen is that assistant is going to grow with you. They're going to grow with the business, so that when the time comes and your assistant really is starting to take, your business is really starting to take off, then your assistant is going to be completely primed. They're going to know what to do, and you're not going to have to start all over from the very beginning teaching somebody how to work in your business.
And lastly, how do you see the future of the executive assistant relationship?
You know, Eric, I'm really quite hopeful for that relationship, and I really hope my book is going to be instrumental in helping executives to understand the value of an exceptional assistant. You know, in the book, I set the bar pretty high, showing the characteristics of an exceptional assistant, what they need to bring to the job, and how it's going to help assistants to lift their game. So I think with everybody understanding what it's going to take to make their relationship work, I'm truly confident we'll see a much higher level of effectiveness in the executive and the assistant relationship.
Well, Jan, it certainly has been great to have had you and a great conversation. Tell our listeners where they can get more information, pick up your book, The CEO's Secret Weapon, and how they can be in touch.
Very good. So you can go to my website, theceosecretweapon.com, and my email is jan@theceosecretweapon.com. You can even reach us by phone if you'd like, 760-431-8692, and the book is available through Amazon.
Well, once again, Jan, we thank you for your time. It's been outstanding to hear from you, and thanks so much for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
It's my pleasure, Eric. I really hope I've been able to help your listeners.
I have no doubt that you have. We've been speaking with Jan Jones, president of Jan Jones Worldwide, a speakers bureau specializing in sending business experts to speak at events worldwide. And for more information, simply visit theceosecretweapon.com. And this is Eric Dye. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.